I'm combining a couple messages because I want to, one of the things that we need to remember in our world today is the value or the importance of the virgin birth. I want you to understand that there were some prophecies in the Bible, and the first one is right here in Genesis chapter 3, when God is punishing Adam and Eve and the serpent, and what he's telling them is he's giving us a prophecy of the virgin birth. A lot of people don't realize, I was looking, doing some study for this message, and one of the things that I do, I don't encourage you to do this, but one of the things I do is I look at how the modern versions use these verses because they attack the virgin birth so badly. They attack the deity of Christ. The fact, deity of Christ is a term that we use that means that Jesus is God. Okay? Sometimes we use terms like that, but there are things in the bad versions that corrupt who Jesus is, what salvation really comes from, the miracles, all the things about Jesus, because the devil hates people getting saved.
That's right.
And one of the things I saw online, and I did a little study, is they talk about the fact that the word Alma, which is A-L-M-A-H, is the Hebrew word that they use for virgin. And a lot of them, quite a few of the modern versions use the term young woman or maiden. Now, we'll get to that in a little bit, but it talks about the fact that a young maiden, God's going to give us a sign, and a young woman's going to have a child. How many young women do you think are going to have a child today? How many virgins do you think are going to have a child today? That's something that only God can do.
That's right, amen.
That's why it was a sign. Here in this particular passage, we see that God's going to show us something all the way back to the Garden of Eden. He's going to show us that there's going to be a virgin birth. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to show you just a few things. We're going to go to a number of passages in the Bible. But one of the things that we need to realize is that God had prophesied the virgin birth.
Amen.
And if the virgin birth, there are a number of reasons why it was necessary for the Lord Jesus to be virgin born.
Right.
But if nothing else, it was prophesied in the Bible, and if it didn't happen, you throw the Bible away because it's wrong.
Right.
But I don't have a bad Bible, I have a perfect Bible.
Amen.
That tells me about a perfect Savior. We're just going to read verse 15. Actually, let's go to verse 14 for context. And it says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this," talking about deceiving Eve and getting her to eat of the tree that God had forbidden them to eat from, "because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And verse 15 is where we want to focus. And it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I want you to understand, this passage right here is talking about a woman's seed. How many of you know that a woman doesn't carry the seed? But this is something marvelous, something miraculous that God was going to do. He was going to circumvent the need for a man, and a virgin was going to have a child without a man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, what a blessing it is to be in your house. What a blessing it is to understand the virgin birth. Understand that it was a marvelous thing you did, but it was also a necessary thing for us to get saved. We ask you to teach us from the Word of God. Let your Holy Spirit feel free to move in our hearts and in our words and have free reign of everything today in the service. And keep the preacher out of your way and in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm having a little trouble with my allergies, so I pray that you'll bear with me. The devil doesn't want me preaching. And he definitely does not want me preaching about the virgin birth. Because this is something that a lot of people use to say this is a ridiculous book. But I want you to understand, if you don't believe God can do this, you don't believe he's much of anything. But here it's talking about the fact that God was going to provide a seed from a woman to produce a child without a man. And this is a passage here that prophesies all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It prophesies the fact that God was going to send Jesus through a woman without having an earthly father. Now, there's a number of issues there we're going to deal with, but I want you to understand it was required, if for no other reason, it was required because God prophesied it. He said it was going to happen. So it's going to have to happen because he said it was going to happen. There's nothing that the Creator has ever stated in the Word of God that either has not happened or will not happen. It's all going to be fulfilled sooner or later. We see, if you read the Bible very long, you can see where there are a lot of things that are being fulfilled. A lot of people don't realize it. I use this as a passage that helps me teach people that the Bible is more than just man's writings. For instance, if you go to Revelation chapter 13, you'll see that the Antichrist is going to require people to receive the mark of the beast. That's what we call it. The bad Bibles will tell you that the mark of the beast is going to be on the right hand or on the forehead. How many of you have accidentally wrote on yourself with a marker or a pen? How many of you have done it just to make a note to remember to get something from the store? Guess what? That's not the mark of the beast, okay? The mark of the beast is something the Bible, King James Bible says it's in the right hand or in the forehead, under the skin, in that part of the body. But there's a lot of people that will mess up and say, well, it's a tattoo or it's some kind of rubber stamp, indelible or something like that. I want you to understand there's a what they call today is RFID. Some of you may not understand what it is, but you've heard about it because they put these microchips in the animals today. A lot of pets. And some companies, I heard of a company in Wisconsin that's actually put them inside their employees rather than have a badge to get into the company. And this is a indication of what's to come with the Antichrist. But how would John, who wrote the book of Revelation, how would he know that that was going to come to pass 1900 years ago? Imagine if you told them about computers 1900 years ago and what kind of information we could get from our computers today. I mean, you would blow their mind. There would be no way they could understand. John didn't write that of his own will. He wrote it because God told him what to write. The prophecies in the Bible are written at God's request. He was not only taking the telling the man what to write, but he would take over the man. When I was a dean of students at the college, there were times that I would dictate a letter to my secretary there at the college, and when I'd read it, it didn't sound like I'd quoted it and like I had dictated it. And so I had to get some things redone. Now, I'm not saying I said it wrong or she wrote it wrong, typed it wrong. But that God didn't have to worry about that. And he's telling us right here, Genesis chapter 3, that one day he was telling Adam and Eve, he said, and he was telling the serpent, this was a direct quote to the serpent, he said, I'm going to put enmity. Well, what is enmity? Well, it's where we get the word enemy from. What's an enemy? Somebody that doesn't like you. They're against each other. That's what's going on here in verse. God's saying, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Not a seed, not a man's seed, but the woman's seed. Now I want to go up, we're going to cover a number of places. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 22. A lot of people in these bad Bibles, they change the word virgin, and we'll go there in a little bit, in Isaiah chapter 7, but they change the word virgin to a young woman or a maiden. I've got news for you, that's not a sign. But look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Now, the term there is God's going to create something new, something that's never happened before. How many of you understood that we'd be in trouble if young women didn't have children back in the old days? We probably wouldn't be here. Okay? But God was going to do a new thing. A woman, the word compass, we use it for a compass to direct, but the word compass means to go around. And so what was going to happen was a woman was going to bypass or go around a man and still have a child. That's a prophecy of the virgin birth. They can change the word virgin if they want to, but they still have a problem with Genesis chapter 3. They have a problem with Jeremiah chapter 32. And they still have a problem with Isaiah chapter 7, where it says that God's going to provide a sign. Here he says he's going to do a new thing, and a woman is going to go around a man. I want you to understand, all we're doing with it right now is going into the prophecies. How many of you understand that if God did not fulfill these prophecies, he would have lied? And my God can't lie. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't going to happen. And so what he's telling us here is the fact that this is going to happen. Not only do we see it in Genesis, but we see it now in Jeremiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. This is one of the places where we run to pretty often about the virgin birth. And it says, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, like I said, if it wasn't a virgin, It was just a young woman. There's no sign there. Nothing special. But I want you to understand what we need to realize in the world today. When people attack the Bible, one of the places they attack the Bible the most is the virgin birth of Christ. And when they attack the virgin birth of Christ, if Jesus was not virgin born, we're not saved. Because if Jesus had an earthly father, get this now, if Joseph or anybody else was Jesus' earthly father and had been the one to conceive Jesus in Mary, then what you have is Jesus is born in sin because she wasn't married yet. And he would have a sin nature because the sin nature passes on from the man to the children. I'm not going to blame my dad for my sin nature. I just hope my kids don't blame me. Amen. But the truth is, that's the way, that's why God had to have Jesus to be born of a virgin. And if Jesus was not born of a virgin, he would not be without sin. He would need a Savior, not be qualified to be the Savior. But let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Not only was it prophesied, but we're going to see where it was fulfilled. The virgin birth was fulfilled. Look at verse 18, Matthew chapter 1. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together," that's before they had any relation, "she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Okay? If Joseph had been the father, verse 19 wouldn't have bothered him that much. It says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." He was thinking about putting her away. Why? Because he knew he wasn't the father. God had to do something special. What do you think happened? I mentioned this a few Wednesday nights ago. What do you think happened to Joseph when he had the dream and the angel told him, "Hey, Joseph, you're not the only one that chose Mary. God did too. She's fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of the virgin having a child." And I want you to get this in the fact that Mary had to be a special individual. For God to want her to be the father of the earthly, or the earthly mother of Jesus, to raise Jesus and raise him up in the ways. And I mentioned this when we were talking about Joseph before. Hey, Jesus, they didn't have to spank him. In fact, how many of you parents like to have your child correct you? I kind of think that probably happened with Jesus and Mary and Joseph. I know it did happen at the temple, because he was at the temple teaching and learning and asking questions of the doctors and the scribes, stirring up all kinds of questions. I wish we had a list of some of the questions he asked. But Jesus was a perfect child without sin. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 12. I like verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Bible knows why you do things. It knows our motives. There's a song, the group in Alabama sings called, it's a girls group, the Seminole String Band. And they say, "If it's just a book, why get so angry? If it's just a book, why do you get so mad? If it's just a book, why are you running? It's just a book that tells you every thought you've had." That's what this book is. And that's what that first phrase there, it says the word of God is quick. Now that's an old-fashioned English word that means alive. Okay? If you change the book, you kill it. It's no longer alive. You don't have a live book if you've changed the book. Okay? I'm not going to spend much time there, but look at what it says in verse 13. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight." God sees everything. "But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Look at verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Look at verse 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are." Look at those last three words. "Yet without sin."
Praise the Lord.
If Jesus had not been virgin born, he would be with sin. He would have been a sinner, just like you and me. He would have needed a Savior, and since he was the only one qualified, there'd be no Savior. There'd be no way for you to get to heaven, or me to get to heaven, or anybody to get to heaven. How important is the virgin birth? It's so vital. It's one of the things that we call the fundamentals of our faith. Okay? There are some doctrines that I will fight for. You say fight? I'm not going to have anybody in my pulpit teaching otherwise. Okay? I'm not going to have them on my bus telling people that this isn't so, or Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. What I'm going to tell them is I'm going to stand up for the truth. Because how do you go soul winning and knock on a door? How do you share the gospel with somebody and tell them, "Well, I'm not sure whether Jesus was a sinner or not." In Romans chapter, let's go there. Romans chapter 10. Look at what it says in verse 9. We'll start there. This is part of the last portion of what we call the Romans Road. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What you believe about Jesus matters. You do realize that a Jehovah's Witness that believes Jesus is really Michael the Archangel cannot get saved. Okay? Somebody that believes Jesus was just a good man cannot get saved. If they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the perfect sacrifice for our salvation, they cannot get saved. What you believe about Jesus matters. So when I'm sharing the gospel, I'm sharing the plan of salvation, when I get to verse 9, I ask them straight up. I ask them, do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus never sinned? You'd be surprised how many people don't believe that Jesus was sinless. They say, well, he could. I say, we're in trouble if he did, if he had sinned. If he wasn't sinless, we're all in trouble. And if he wasn't sinless, then the Bible's lied in a bunch of places. And so I go through those things as well as the asking them if Jesus died on the cross. Why did Jesus die on the cross for our sins? Did Jesus raise from the dead, just like the Bible says? That's what it says in verse 9, right? It says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You have to believe some certain things about Jesus, or you can't be saved. Right. And the virgin birth is one of them. You say, why? Why do I have to believe that? By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Your faith is the only key that opens heaven's door for you. My faith. And you know Jesus is the door, so you've got to put your faith key in the door of Jesus to get in. We'll finish up with going to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse, let's start with verse 30. And the angel said unto her, talking about Gabriel. Gabriel showed up, talked to Mary. By the way, there were three people in the Bible that we know Gabriel by name came to. Only one person in the Old Testament, two people here in Luke chapter 1. Gabriel showed up to Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, in Daniel several times, a couple times, and then in Luke chapter 1, he shows up for Zacharias at the altar, as well as here with Mary. And it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. She was somebody special in God's sight. Amen. Don't think that God doesn't notice when you make right decisions. When you do the right thing, God notices, and you find favor with Him. If you make the bad decision, guess what? He's going to say, man, I wish they hadn't have done that. But look at what else it says. And I want to go down a little farther. Look at verse 36. Here's a sign. Mary asked for a sign just like Zacharias did, but Zacharias got a curse for asking for a sign where Mary got her sign. You say, why would God do that? Zacharias was a priest. He should have known better. Mary was a young girl who had not been trained like Zacharias the priest was. But verse 36, it says, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. Look at verse 37. Never lose sight of this verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's why we pray. Because everything we say, call on God to do, He can't do. But I like this response of Mary. And it says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She's saying, whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want to do.
Amen.
I'm glad she said that. We might be in trouble if she hadn't. Maybe there was nobody else qualified to be the mother of the Savior. The virgin birth of Christ and Jesus being born of a virgin is not negotiable. It is not something we can give or take on. It is absolutely essential to the Christian faith. It is essential for us to go to heaven. And if the virgin birth isn't true, throw the Bible away. Because we can't go to heaven anyway. Eat, drink, and be merry because we're going to be going to hell. Basically, what you're saying without the virgin birth. But I know it's a reality. It's not fiction. Because my God prophesied and He turned right around and He did everything He prophesied He would do. And that's why we have an opportunity to go to heaven. Only because He provided a way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for Your many blessings. And Lord, we ask You to do something special in the invitation. Thank You, Lord, for the virgin birth of Christ. Lord, we just pray that You'll do something special in our hearts and help this truth be rooted deep in our hearts so nobody can convince us otherwise, and so that we can help convince others that Jesus was virgin born, that He is the Savior, that He was without sin, and He's the only way they can get to heaven. Use the invitation for Your glory, for it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.